Hey everybody, welcome to episode one of the CRA Resources podcast. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Operations Manager at CRA Resources. Today, we're sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and Natalie Prigge, Senior Recruiter. We'll be discussing this month's newsletter theme of interview trips and falls and tips for how to recover. If you missed our latest newsletter, please visit CRAResources.com/blog to check out our latest blog posts and to sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox. So let's get started. I'll turn it over to Angela so she can give us some more detail on our topic today.
Thank you, Miss Becky. And I think it's funny, we're episode one. All of you guys out there, you should be listening to this just to see what kind of trips and falls we actually have during today's session. But you're right, it's about interview trips and falls, falls versus fails. And quite honestly, I think most individuals are more concerned about the candidate and prepping the candidate and making sure they're ready for interviews. But we see as many client fails as we do candidate fails. So we wanted to touch both sides today in order to be able to get a complete picture of the whole process.
Great. So, Angela, what are some issues you see from the client's perspective when it comes to interviewing?
Well, there are three things actually that pop into mind. And one thing that we see very frequently is when a client has high attrition, they'll beef up their interview process. And that may be the right reason to beef up their interview process, but if they haven't done a true root cause analysis on their entire hiring process, the attrition levels may be related to something else. So you've got to look at the whole end-to-end process, starting with the job description, getting into the root of whether or not the job description is clean and clear enough, if it's attracting the right candidates, et cetera. You also have to look at the brand of your company and whether or not your brand is off-putting to certain clinical research associates, depending on the type of metrics that you hold the CRAs accountable to or that type of thing. And if there are other issues that are causing your attrition, like hiring fraudulent candidates, for example, adding an additional interview may not solve the problem unless you're taking a look at the root cause to begin with and addressing it from there. The other thing that we see, and this is a big one actually, is a super, super smart CRA who gets hired into a lead position because they're so outstanding, and then maybe they move into a clinical management position because they're even more outstanding. But just because they're a great clinical ops leader doesn't mean that they're a really good interviewer. And often the hiring teams that we come across are not trained to be interviewers. And this is a big problem legally, as well as being able to truly vet out whether or not a candidate should be someone that gets added to the team, not just from a competency perspective, but also for the right fit. So we actually offer training free of charge to our hiring teams in order to help them to become more effective interviewers, because we see that quite a bit.
That makes sense. Absolutely. You know, you want everything to be good and buttoned up from the ground up within the organization before you start, you know, getting resources from the outside. Absolutely. And then buttoning up their process, you know, from the client side, standardizing interview process so they can make sure that everything is streamlined. Makes total sense.
Absolutely. And that's really the key, is whenever you have an interview, whether it's a panel interview or an individual interview at the hiring manager's side, from that perspective, is being able to train those hiring managers on not just what the illegal questions are, but how to dig into certain answers, how to take advantage of things like the awkward pause, understanding how much the hiring manager needs to be speaking versus the candidate needs to be speaking. All of those types of things, they're not magical. You're not going to know that if you haven't been trained on it. And it's just really critically important, I think, for teams to do that.
Sure. And there's also a speed to market component, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, if you take the time to have five different rounds of interviews with multiple people within, mm-hmm. you know, the management of your organization, you might lose out on candidates, especially since candidates, contractors, consultants, they'll often move on to a contract really quickly. So they might get snatched up if you don't streamline your process and just have that one or two interview happen that's really quick and to the point and streamlined.
Yeah, if they're effective interviews, I absolutely agree. Absolutely. Oh. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing, too, is we see a lot of hiring managers who have been given the task of interviewing, but they hate interviewing. Mm-hmm. And that is just a disaster. Even if they're director of ClinOps or director over monitoring or so even a higher level, if they don't like to interview, don't put them in an interview situation. You want someone who has that ability to connect with the candidate, putting that candidate at ease so that you can build a rapport with them and get to know the true them during an interview. And it takes a certain skill and a desire to be able to do that.
Sure. Yeah. Leverage everyone's skills, leverage, you know, their position and what their, you know, expertise is in the business. And yeah, make sure those are as successful as possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Any more thoughts about situations from the client's perspective about interviewing?
No, I think those are my top three. Obviously, there are always little nits and niggles, but these are really good ones to start off with and give hiring managers opportunities to really assess their interviewing process as to whether or not they need to make some adjustments.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for those. So, Natalie, what are some fails you've seen from the candidate side?
Well, I have some. One that I see a lot as a recruiter interviewing candidates is when candidates come on the call with me and think that or they just assume the call with the recruiter is to just really just discuss the details of the contract or the opportunity. So they want to know immediately who the client is, what the salary range is, like those very specific details, which is very understandable. But I think sometimes they don't realize that when you're speaking to the recruiter, that's like the first stage of interviews, because we are wanting to see if will this be a good fit for the candidate and the client. Are they understanding the actual project? Do they have the knowledge of the therapeutic, the competency questions, the situations that they may face? And it's not just a call where I'm just going to go ahead and give you the rate, the name of the client, and the details as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. So I would say that would be the biggest fail that I see, not every day, but more often than I would like to see it. Yeah. I think sometimes candidates think of us as, well, sometimes they'll say, oh, you're a headhunter. Yes, I am. But treat me like I'm part of the client that you may be working with, mm-hmm. because we're the ones that are going to pass you through or not if you meet all the requirements, plus how you interview during the call.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad that you said that, Natalie, because I can't agree more. Obviously, we want to work with real high quality candidates,
yes.
But we do work with really high quality clients. So we're there to protect both interests and to find the right match. And I agree, sometimes candidates don't take the interview process seriously with us because we are recruiters. Perhaps we're a bit more strenuous than a lot of recruiting agencies are, but that's also why our attrition levels are so low, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yes, it is very low. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then part of that fail too, I would say, is when they do get on our call or a call with their recruiter is when we're asking them like specific therapeutic experience, they can't remember it, or there's a lot of ums, or I can't really recall, but I did it about 2 years ago. I can't, you know, that doesn't give them a really great look. So mm-hmm. my tip for that is, when you're speaking to a recruiter or even the client, make sure you are refreshed on your therapeutic background. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have at least your resume, or if they've created a table where they have all of the indications and therapeutics that they've worked on, go ahead and take the time to create that and have that in front of you, whether it's an interview with the recruiter or with the client, because that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You know, going into a call and saying, I know I did it about a year ago. Let me check my resume, or I can't really recall. And then they're taking time up, you know, from having a really efficient call and productive call with their recruiter mm-hmm. On their therapeutic experience. So mm-hmm. I would say that kind of falls into kind of going into the first fail. I did have another one that actually was a situation that I had today where the candidate came back very nicely and just said, you know, I don't want to have a preparation call with the recruiter for my interview with the client. Now, I know here at CRA Resources, we do that. We take the time to schedule another call with the candidate to go ahead and prepare them for the interview with the client once we've gotten all that scheduled. And really, those calls are not just to train the CRAs on their competency questions or you need to answer this question like this, but more so of understanding who you're going to be speaking with, what their role is, you know, how long they've been at the company based off of, you know, that person's history, what they're looking for in the in their job that they're trying to fill for that individual. Like, who do they want on their team? Making sure that both the candidate and the client are on that same page and the candidate understands that, okay, this company is looking for someone that wants to collaborate, wants someone hands-on, you know, needs to do this, needs to do that. Can I do that? Yes, I can. So let me go ahead and get prepared to tell them how I can do that. Sometimes I think these candidates may think that we're training them to how to interview, but that's not the case. It's really of just understanding who they're speaking with. Have they done their homework on the client? And also making sure if it is a video interview that all of their technology for that call is good to go and there's no issues. So, yeah.
It's a really good point, isn't it? Because we're very well positioned to be able to help the candidate understand the personality of those interviewers. And the mission of every interview is to build a rapport. Candidate with the client, client with the candidate. And we can help them have those foundations to be able to do that in a prep. So it helps them with success. It also helps to eliminate some candidates. We don't do it often, but we have, haven't we, Natalie, had to pull candidates from the pool who hadn't researched the company yet. They weren't prepared. And it's so important for candidates to be prepared to speak to these clients.
Absolutely. I haven't had to do that a lot, but there have been one or two where I had to be like, no, I'm sorry. You have not done your homework. You show no interest in this opportunity. You know, and I get it. Sometimes as consultants, they look at these as contracts, but at the end of the day, don't look at them as contracts. Look at them as projects you want to be a part of.
Yes, make a difference.
Exactly. And even though it is just a contract and it may just be a 3 month, 6 month, 1 year contract, you want to be part of a group. You want to be part of a project. And that's what the client is looking for. So when you haven't done your homework, when you haven't researched a little bit about who you're going to be speaking with, and when I say research, like, oh, they've been at this company for X amount of years, or, you know, oh, they like to a team collaboration environment, you know, that says a lot. You're just looking at it as a job and not a project you want to be a part of.
It also helps you tailor the answers as a candidate. If you understand that the hiring manager used to be a CRA and now they're a CRA manager, you understand when they're asking you specific questions where that's coming from. Alternatively, if they're HR, then you understand those questions are going to be a lot different. You can be prepared for them.
Exactly.
That's wonderful, you guys. Thanks so much for this discussion. I think it's been so helpful. Thank you, Angela and Natalie, for joining us today. I think that's about all the time we have. Thanks to everybody out there listening. We really hope this discussion will help you as you navigate the CRA interview process. And just a reminder, at CRA Resources, we understand you've got lots of options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. So not only do we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, we also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAResources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.